We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This week on Buckets, Boards, and Blocks, we have one of the best coaches in college basketball. For real, check what his team is ranked. My co-host, he also is living proof. He's a witness. Our guest is standing by. But first, Darlene, let's run it.
Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. Monica is a former Georgetown Hoyer who likes nothing better than a three in transition and thinks DC ballers are the smartest. King is a former 3-and-D Baylor baller whose idea of a good time is locking down the other team's best scorer. Monica, King, let's do this.
Welcome to the show. I'm King McClure along with the great co-host Monica McNutt. Our guest this week is Scott Drew, the head coach of the Baylor Bears. And also, my former coach. The Bears are ranked preseason number 2 in the college poll. And guess what? His birthday is Friday. Coach, this is a big one. Tell everybody how old you are turning.
And we're getting old. The big 5-0, 50. Here we go.
Ooh, Coach, are you nervous?
You know, we get a half-court shot, right? And if we make it, we all go out to eat. So that's always my nerves. I'm trying to come through for the team, right?
Mind you, Coach Drew only wants this shot to go in when he's shooting. But when anybody half-court shot, he is praying for them to miss.
and you know what? I had to pray extra hard for you because you were pretty good from half-court.
So wait,
I would make sure it was a real tough practice and King was wore out before we did that half-court shot for King.
That's fantastic, Coach. I love that. All right, we've got a bunch of great questions between King and our super producer, Bruce. But before we go there, I need to know off the top, because you brought it up, what was it like coaching this guy? Because anytime we have our former basketball teammates or coaches on, he always gives me the blues. So I need all the dirt.
Well, first of all, if everybody coached more players like King McClure, there'd be a ton of coaches out there, because he was a true blessing to coach. Always had a great attitude, always came to work, and was a great teammate. Seriously, King was one of our all-time favorites, and can't speak more highly about him as a person, a player, a teammate, a man. Love him to death, and I know it's a blessing for you guys to work with him too. So by the way, I do have a question for you. What are you doing this Saturday?
Thanks, Coach. You know, I'm just celebrating, not quite the 5-0. I'm turning 31, but shout out to October birthdays, King, yourself, myself. Bruce, you're not in the club, sorry.
but my son turned 30 2 days ago.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
There you go.
It's a big one. Big one.
So we're semi in a club. Okay.
There you go. That answer on King did not give me the dirt that I needed. But hopefully we get into a little bit more trash talking, because Jarrett was on the pod with us a while back, and I think they got a little bit into it, which I loved.
For sure. But Coach Drew, let's start. I've never asked you this question personally, so I always wanted to ask you this. What made you want to take the job at Baylor, knowing everything that was going on at the time?
Well, great question. As you know, King, our program is based on our faith in our Lord and Savior. And biggest thing is I prayed about it and I felt led to come here. So when God says go, that's what we do. And when we got here and realized how much work we had, we then had to talk to God some more. But but as you know, it's been a blessing being here. So many great players over the years, so many great relationships. All three of my children were born here, and this has definitely been home. And again, because of players like yourself, it's been a special place.
Man, Coach, that. So what was, I mean, obviously we love a good faith-based, a driven and led man. But when you had that conversation with your dad or even your brother, even your wife, because you come from a coaching family and obviously basketball is huge. You love the game. But it certainly was an uphill climb. I mean, what were the people in your circle asking you as you were moving toward making that decision?
Well, and that's, I'm blessed because I have a family that understands athletics. My dad's been in it all his life, actually inducted in the College Basketball Hall of Fame. And my mentor, and not only my dad, but someone that's helped me along the way in everything I've done basketball-wise. And then my brother has a great perspective playing for us and playing 6 years in the league. And the one thing that we thought about was when my dad went to Valpo, they had never had a winning record in Division One, and at the time, Digger Phelps was coaching Notre Dame. He's like, you can't go there, Homer, because nobody's going to win there. It's a dead-end job. And a lot of similarities with Valpo and with Baylor, both of them Christian schools, both of them family-type atmospheres, both of them not as much tradition and history, and an opportunity to build something. And that does appeal to players like King. He got to stay close to home. He got to build something that one day his kids can see the banners that he helped put up and what he helped accomplish at Baylor University. And I love a challenge. I know our players have loved a challenge, and that attitude has allowed us to be successful. So, the agreement was Baylor probably at the time couldn't go much lower because it was at the bottom where it was at. In the first year, we had, I think, 6 or 7 scholarship players. So it was a walk-on dream because not only could you be on the team, but you actually got to play. So, and that's not easy winning the Big 12 with walk-ons, by the way, just so you know. So, but again, what I love about it is my favorite time in our coaching staff, favorite time of the year is minus the pandemic summer this summer is when everybody comes back in the summertime, and we call it Vet Week, and just seeing how the guys come back and how they teach the young people. And like you said, with King, having fun with Jared, I mean, those are the relationships we love, just like King and Curtis Gerrills and Tweety Carter and all the people before King.
Love that.
For sure. So, Coach Drew, you talked about your father. Shout out to Homer, great man, great coach. What did you learn from him to build Baylor up to the level that they're at right now?
Great question. And you and I are both blessed with great dads. Leroy is one of my all-time favorite and a great, great man. And with Valpo, the one thing we did was very similar to what we did here, and that is not really get into the rankings as much as who fits Baylor University, who athletically, but more importantly, work ethic, character-wise, spiritually, who are the people that are called to be a Baylor, and people like yourself that wanted to come make a difference and be a part of a program like this. Now you were highly touted and recruited by a lot of schools, but some of the guys that we've brought in haven't been in that situation. And the big thing is guys that are going to put the team first and really sacrifice and work hard. And that's why you're successful. And that's why the players we've had have been successful.
Okay, so now I need to know, Coach, what was the pitch to bring King McClure to campus? Like, and who, King, who were your, like, Final Four?
I think it was Baylor, Kansas, UCLA, and Arkansas. But, Coach, you never knew this, but North Carolina called the week before I made my verbal to you personally. North Carolina called. It was Hubert Davis. Said he's coming next week, and if they like me, they're going to offer me on spot. And you came in the right time, because had I got that offer, Coach, probably would have said yes. That was my dream school. But it came down to Baylor, Kansas, really Baylor and Kansas, honestly. And then Arkansas was third.
From your perspective, Coach, what was the pitch to this kid?
Well, the biggest reason I think King came to Baylor is besides praying about it, talking to his family, he's a guy that's very loyal. and very family oriented. And I think an opportunity to come to a school where his family could be a part of his college career, could see his games. He could go back and forth. I mean, he's a legend. They got buildings and gyms and things named after his family in the Metroplex. So, I mean, he's a guy that couldn't go far from home. And the good thing is he always has a place to call home here. And I know we love when he comes back. So really being able to share his college experience with his family, I think, was the number one reason he came here. And then the second thing is, I know King was able to build the high school and the program that he was at with AAA, and I mean, he wanted to do the same thing here.
And timing, because apparently you were just just in time.
Yeah, man, at the perfect time. Coach, you mentioned recruiting, okay? There's been a pandemic that everybody's aware of. How do you recruit in a pandemic? Give us the tips to how you do this.
Well, the great thing is modern technology, as you know now. Some of us older coaches aren't as good with getting on online and whatnot. But the good thing is once we're online, it's pretty easy. So a lot of FaceTime, a lot of Zoom calls. And at the end of the day, everything is equal. And what I mean by that is no one's taking official visits. No one's doing in-home visits. Everyone has the opportunity to get the same information. And very similar to why you chose Baylor University, a lot of other college student athletes in high school, they have reasons that they choose. Maybe it's playing time. Maybe it's close to home. Maybe it's their dream school. Maybe they just connect with the coaching staff. Maybe they know the players there. I mean, those things don't change. The thing that changes is obviously they're not able to maybe get the official visit times or the in-home home visits. But Zoom's actually a blessing too, because as you know, when you have those home visits, that takes a lot of time. And if a coach is going to travel that far, he feels like he needs to stay in the home. And sometimes I know parents are like, dang, these people ever going to leave, you know? And the great thing with Zoom, 30 minutes, hey, we got to go. Hey, we got a bad connection or something. So it makes it easy. There's no cleanup or anything. Anyway, there are some advantages to it.
I feel you on that, Coach. It's been funny because I'm looking at my schedule like, wow, actually doing things from Zoom has allowed me in a way to do more, because you're the travel time and you can be present, not in two places at once, but quicker than you could if you were traveling. Now, I know we're about to turn the page on this upcoming season. You guys are ranked top five nationally, but I'm just curious, what was the reconciliation is the word that keeps coming to my mind. Last season, as the news was announced that the tournament would be canceled, I mean, you guys were trending in the – well, it got a little tricky down the stretch, but you guys were a very good team that we expected things from in the tournament. From a leadership standpoint, how did you deal with that with your players and your coaching staff?
Great, great question. So to start with, I think we were really excited for the Big 12 tournament from the standpoint down the stretch. We had some injuries, and we were starting to get some people healthy. And we felt really confident and excited to go into that Big 12 tournament, because we've been in the championship game, I think, three or four times and have lost. And so to put a banner up, have a chance to win that, that was one thing that was very exciting. The second thing was we were projected to be a number one seed. So if we were going to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament, that's something that Baylor's never had accomplished. And I know we were really excited about that opportunity. And what happened was, in a matter of 24 hours, you lose the Big 12 tournament, you lose the NCAA tournament. But that's really speaks to the character of our student athletes. Like as King will tell you, that last game you play, and I still remember King's last game. I mean, as a coach, I don't want to stop coaching them. I don't want them to leave. And normally the people that invest the most in the program, they don't want to leave. And it's emotional and it's tough. But Obim, one of our seniors last year, right at that when we were meeting, said, hey, coach, let's just focus on the positives this year. And then he started talking about 23 straight wins, 5 weeks ranked number one, which is the longer than anyone since Kentucky in 2015. And it just shows you that why we were successful is very similar to why we were successful when King was here. And that is great, great student athletes that are very optimistic and about the moment. And they wanted to celebrate to what they had accomplished. Best winning percentage in school history, in fact.
Hey, you're muted.
Right. I didn't realize that you guys.
Did you do that on purpose?
The dogs were barking. I had to like tone it down. But anyway, the winning percentage. That I didn't realize that you guys accomplished that. That's awesome.
So Coach Drew, let's talk a little bit about the team.
What kind of dogs we got?
We have a Chow and a Collie mix, and then there's like this little mutt running around. I go with a Shepherd Terrier mix, but a mutt is fine. She's just noisy. All right.
So Coach Drew, let's get into the team a little bit. Jared Butler, preseason All-American, was All-American last year. What makes him so special?
Well, Jared is has a lot of qualities you do, King, and that is he's a great teammate. He really cares about his teammates. And whenever you have a player that cares about the team, he's going to give a little bit more. Offensively, he can score in bunches, but at the same time, he can really pass the ball. He's very tough to keep in front of you. And because of that, the penetration he gets creates opportunities for his teammates. Defensively, he's improved, and I know that's an area that every day going against our guards in practice, you have to be on point or you get embarrassed. So iron sharpens iron, and that's a good thing there. The other thing is he listens. And he wants to be coached. He wants to improve. He listens to our vets. He listens to our coaching staff. And at the end of the day, I mean, everybody, LeBron James, the best player on the planet, he listens to coaches. And that's why each and every year he seems to get better. He tries to find areas to work on and improve on. And that's a credit to him. And Jared has some of that in him.
So we have two new guys. Really a lot of new guys, but two impact new guys who will be able to make an immediate change for the program, Adam Flagler and JTT. Let's give fans a little insight on what they'll bring to the table.
Well, in last year we were blessed because you had two guys that sat out as transfers, and then we had a third, Jordan Turner, who redshirted. So you have three players that have really been in the program. Yeah, but they've been in the program, which gives them an advantage over anybody that's a freshman, because especially freshmen this year are going to have a tough not having the summertime to play against the vets and to get acclimated to the strength and conditioning, the offense, the defense. So that puts them all a little bit behind. But to start with Adam Flagler, he's somebody that very similar to King. He can get buckets in a variety of ways. He's got obviously a three-point shot. He's got a mid-range game. He's got a float game. He's bigger physical for a guard, so he can take some contact, and defensively he's very good. He wants to be a pediatrician after he's done playing, and somebody that very well balanced spiritually, academically, character-wise, and as a team leader. And John JTT Jonathan Chichukwu, somebody that we call him Everyday John, because every day he's the exact same. He's in the gym, he's working out, he's getting better, very similar to Freddie Gillespie. And when Freddie was here, King will tell you, when he first got here, people were like, I don't know if he's ever going to be able to play for us, you know. And when you work out three times a day and you just go 100%, you don't get embarrassed by making mistakes and not being as efficient, but you keep pushing forward, you get better. And John has really, really improved, very similar to Freddie. And I think people will see it's not the same guy that averaged 3 points a game at UNLV. Those two guys have been at college programs before and transferred in. Jordan redshirted, and he's somebody skilled who can shoot the three, put it down, and those wings that they can guard 1 through 4, they're very valuable in college and in the NBA. And all three of them outstanding young men, and really excited to coach him this year.
Tristan Clark is somebody who had a huge impact, especially my senior year. He came out killing, got hurt last year, kind of sort of struggled a little bit to get back into the groove of things. How is he looking right now?
Well, Tristan has really done a great job in losing weight, and that's so important coming off a knee injury, from the standpoint the lighter you are, the less wear and tear and pressure you're putting on the knee. And he's at 235 or so, and he hadn't been that small since he was in high school, or that thin since he was in high school. So it's a young Tristan Clark right now, but excited to see what he's able to do this year. And as you know, King, I mean, it's really hard when you're somebody that was, I mean, before his injury, was not only an all-league player, somebody possibly an NBA draft pick, to all of a sudden kind of starting at scratch again. And that it's so much tougher for athletes today to recover from, the standpoint, as you know, King, similar to you with your heart, it takes time to recover. And then people on social media might not understand that. And they're like, hey, we're used to King dropping 50. Why isn't he dropping 50? I mean, when you go from 60 miles an hour to zero, it takes time to get back to 60. And I mean, same thing with Tristan. It's taken time for him to recover, and hopefully he's able to have a great year.
Coach, this is Bruce. I'm sorry, King. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. You're going,
okay.
Bruce.
Okay. Coach, I want to take you back in time 6 years ago. In my previous life, before I started working with King and Monica, I was at ESPN, and one of my jobs was on draft night. I was in charge of the commissioner backstage, so I would be sending David Stern out or Adam Silver. But in 2014, one of your players, Isaiah Austin, was headed for an NBA career when he was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome. And I was working with Adam that night on the draft, and I remember the league drafted Isaiah Austin because it was his dream to be selected. I remember the ovation he received, as well as all the emotions and the tears of joy from many in the crowd. What do you remember about that night, and what do you remember about Isaiah?
Well, I was one of those guys that had tears of joy too, and I thought it was just so class of Adam and the NBA to acknowledge Isaiah and bring his family out there. And I mean, they really rolled out the red carpet and treated him exceptionally well that night and that draft weekend. So thank you for being a part of that. And again, we can't thank Adam Silver enough for what he was able to do to help with Isaiah. And it was I don't know if anyone watching the draft, if you didn't have a tear in your eye, then you probably have to get your emotions checked. But it was definitely a great moment. And by the way, Isaiah's since been cleared by his doctors, and some leagues have cleared him, some leagues haven't. But he's been playing overseas and playing in the TBT and doing a great job, and just loves basketball. And hopefully more and more countries can clear ways for him to play. And couldn't be more proud of him. He was able to finish his degree and graduate. And that's something that as a coach, our job is that players have great experiences, but when they leave, you really want them to have that degree, because you know what doors it'll open for the next 60 years of their life. And really proud of Isaiah for getting that. And I really have one question left, and that is for fans out there. I don't know, the Baylor hat you have is outstanding. The one that King has, the Sailor Bear is really good. So, I mean, we got some best dressed men right now. So this is, we got a competition going on.
There's no competition. There's no competition at all. There's only one king. The rest of us are just serfs.
And King was always the best dressed when he was at Baylor. Now he didn't have any bad outfit dates.
King is very much into his appeal, his fashion. We certainly grasp that. Coach, I do want to ask you this, though, because you are going rapidly approaching 20 years at Baylor. You're 18, correct?
18, yes.
There's always this conversation about how much athletes have changed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and to me, winning still is at the heart of all this, and connecting mm-hmm. and relationships. But you've seen your share of players, I guess 18, you're mm-hmm. right in that mix of what they would consider a generation changing. How much has your experience with the student athlete changed versus, is it just technology, or are kids literally different? Like, what do you say to all mm-hmm. of that kind of talk?
I think similar in this fashion, and that is everybody would rather be complimented than yelled at. Everybody would rather be cherished than looked down upon, or persecuted. And at the end of the day, I mean, we all love to be loved, and we love to love. I mean, Christmas time, every parent, when you give gifts to your kids, I mean, that's more exciting than receiving gifts. And so I think that part hasn't changed. And what I mean by that is I think people are people. Now, what I do think has changed is it is so much tougher for student athletes nowadays. After a game's over, 18 years ago, players didn't have to worry about 400 Twitter messages and everybody on social media saying, you made this mistake, or you did this wrong, or you missed that free throw and you just cost me X amount of dollars because we didn't cover. And I mean, like, you're sitting here for the first time, as like one of our players a year ago showed me, he missed a free throw and that would have covered the spread. He didn't even know what cover meant, but it was basically like he's getting threatened. And he's like, I mean, we just won a game. There's a big rivalry win. And we're on the bus instead of celebrating. He's like, I'm getting blown up here on Twitter because I missed a free throw and we're up 10 and it's 2 seconds left or something. And I mean, I just feel for young kids with the pressure they have to deal with. And I think that's why there's been so much made of mental illness nowadays, and just the anxiety and the depression. I mean, it used to be, again, your team would give you the positive or negative reinforcement. It wasn't the world. And I mean, it seems like everything today, it's the best ever or the worst ever. There's nothing in between, you know, it's the best game or the worst game. And again, my heart just goes out to kids nowadays and the pressures and anxieties they have to deal with, because it used to not be like that. And it was their families, it was their team. And it's a lot easier to play for just them rather than everybody else out there that has their own agendas.
This is a great point. Hmm.
So how do you combat that as a coach? Like, knowing that your players are going to go through all this social pressure and social anxiety, what do you do as a coach to combat that?
That's a great question, King, because I mean, at the same time, trying to say, hey, let's not have, when social media first came out, several programs and coaches had policies where no social media during season. And if you weren't on there, maybe you weren't reading as much stuff positive or negative about you or the team. Since that time, I mean, as you know, King, people lose their car keys, but they're not losing their phone. So you're not becoming detached from your phone. So the big thing is hopefully reinforcing constantly whose voice you're listening to and which ones matter and which ones care about you. And then if the more schools have done a great job, especially schools in the Power Five, with hiring people to help with anxiety, depression, mental health part of things, because that's an area that is real. And again, as a coach, something that you just feel for young people. And like me, for instance, after big win, I'm not reading social media because that's not good for me to hear. And after a bad loss, it's definitely not good for me to hear. So I personally don't do as much during season, just because I want to focus on hearing the voices of our team, our staff, rather than the outside world that has their own agendas and thoughts for what is important for our team and who should play and who should get shots and whatnot.
Great point. Bruce, you got another one?
Well, one thing I was, you know, curious about, you know, for many years, the big dog in the Big 12 has been Kansas, but now, you know, Baylor's reached a level of parity with the Jayhawks, and you've even exceeded them on many occasions. And I know there's some other Big 12 teams in the state of Texas. So is there one team that Baylor considers its number one rival at this point?
That's a great question as well. And King, I'm gonna ask you that one, and then I'll go ahead and give you my thoughts. So, King, who would you say is our biggest rival, or which game excited you the most?
So, normally it was like Baylor, Texas, but not even trying to start problems, but Texas really doesn't beat us like that. So and when we go to their arena, it's not really sold out. Not trying to talk back, because I love Shaka Smart, but it's not really sold out. So I wouldn't consider that a rivalry game. I guess you could say TCU, but like also like you said, like I just said, TCU, they haven't really beat us enough. You know, the only thing rivalry game is like it can go either way. But it's almost like, I mean, the past 2 years, I guess, they beat us a few times. But I guess TCU, because we're both private schools. Smaller than a lot of schools in our conference, so TCU probably.
What I'll say with that is, in the Big 12, it's really really hard to have one. And from the standpoint, I think TCU and our football teams King were, what was it, that 1 year was like 59 to 55 or something, and all of a sudden all our fans were so excited when we played TCU in anything. But I think because you have several schools close, Texas, TCU, I mean, you have Texas Tech in the state. But I think with the Big 12, that's why, not dodging the question, but that's why six out of the last 7 years, the Big 12 has been ranked the number one conference in the country, RPI-wise. That's why I think Joe Lunardi at some point this summer had five of the top 12 teams on bracketology in the Big 12. And, I mean, every game is a good game. And top to bottom, that's why the Big 12 is ranked number one. It's because there are no bad games. There are no bad teams. And every night you have to bring it. Where so many other leagues, there's one game, there's one team, there's one rivalry that just is head and shoulders above everybody else. And, I mean, if we're playing West Virginia, we better bring it or we're in trouble. We play in Oklahoma, we better bring it or we're in trouble. We play Oklahoma State, Kansas State, it doesn't matter. Everybody's got a great program, great history, and so many talented players. This year, just look at our first five games, talking about playing a tough schedule. Arizona State, Villanova, and Boston College are all in the same tournament. So let's say we play two of those teams. If you play Arizona State or Villanova, that's two top 25 teams, and Villanova's, what, top three? Then you go to Seton Hall, and then from there you go to Orlando, which I think will be Illinois, and then you go to Indianapolis and play Gonzaga. So if you look at Andy Katz's four number one seeds projections wise right now, it's Gonzaga, Baylor, Villanova, and Illinois. We would play three of those possibly in the first five games. And I mean, every night we're trying to play against the best and get ourselves ready for that Big 12, because again, the Big 12 every night is a grind, and you have to bring it. And that's why it was so special winning 23 games in a row last year. And again, I think our vets deserve so much credit for that, because they have such an impact on our current team. I mean, King will tell you, he's talking to our guys during the year, and he's making sure that they're staying level-headed and understand the pitfalls and traps that they might run into.
Man, wow, Coach, that was a great answer. I was going to poke fun at you for actually dodging the rivalry question, but that was such a comprehensive answer. I feel smarter for having had it. But as you're talking, I'm not going to lie, I hope that everything goes according to plan. King and I, our job literally is these games get going according to plan. But we're living in a 2020, Coach, that is unlike a year we've ever seen. And we've seen football have to postpone and rearrange schedules because of COVID. I guess the question isn't how confident are you, because I know that you're going to do what you need to do to protect your guys and your program, but how are you dealing with some of the uncertainty that is just par for the course in 2020?
Well, I can tell you that every coach gets the most nervous or anxiety over the next day or that day when they get their COVID test results for the team, because if everybody's good, you're practicing that week. If it's not good, you're probably off for 2 weeks. So, that's the number one anxiety right now. As far as the second thing, I think what's great is we're all praying for a vaccine soon, and treatments keep improving and testing keeps improving. So hopefully, again, by the time you get to November 25th and you get to December, January, February, that we're in a position that's different than football because of new advances in medicine.
Love that. So I agree with you, because I got a job I'm trying to do.
Yeah. And you know, you really feel for student athletes. I mean, look at college last year. First of all, the best part of the season got cut out, and then this year it gets pushed back. I mean, for guys that are in college 4 years, that's two of the years that they're in there that are impacted. And I mean, like King, you didn't have to worry about, are we going to play a full season? Are we going to be able to practice? You know, I mean, those are just added stresses that make it tough.
Yeah. Coach, we're going to get you out of here soon, but this is how, King, do you have one more? Because I'm going to do the buckets, boards, and blocks finish. If you
got
don't.
It.
Okay. So Coach, the podcast is obviously called Buckets, Boards, and Blocks. And so I think I'm gonna let this be open to your entire 18 years at Baylor so far, especially since it's your birthday. So I need a bucket from your time at Baylor, which is the A++ thing that you have loved, that stands as a highlight of your career. Give me more of those. Or
okay.
you can give me a board, which is something that maybe at first glance didn't look so great, but it had a redeeming quality, like a good rebound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a block, which is something that you don't want to see anything more, any more of. Get that thing out of here. So I'm going to leave your window to your time at Baylor. I'm going to go wherever you like, Coach, a bucket, board, or a block.
Well, I'd love to go buckets because I got so many of them. But I'm going to go with the board.
Okay.
Because we all know in life, you got to overcome adversity. And I think King McClure is a great example for all young people out there where highly touted in high school, worked his whole life to get to the position to be successful in college, gets to college, finds out about a heart condition. And so many people at that time could have shut down, could have woe is me attitude, and his parents, himself, they're fighters, and to see him persevere and come back from that diagnosis and be able to not only be successful in college, but to be such an inspiration for many people out there that are going through similar challenges. And it might be a heart condition, it might be a knee injury, whatever it is. I remember at Iowa State before one of our games, a family asked to come in and talk. And normally we don't let anyone on the road come in, but they drove, I think, like 4 or 5 hours or something because their daughter was so inspired by King's journey because she had a heart condition similar to his. And because of King's example, she was able to overcome, and the family was able to overcome, and their daughter's able to play sports and be successful and do what she loves to do. And I mean, they were in tears, our team was in tears, and to see that King had an impact on people that no one even knows. I mean, you're in the middle of Iowa, and this is a country family from some town you never heard of in Iowa, I believe, and just to see the impact that you can have. And I know King has been a great inspiration to so many. So very proud of him and proud of the people he's been able to touch.
Oh, man, that was a great board. Oh, no, King, I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Coach.
Well, you deserve it, King.
Deserve.
All right, Coach. Well, thank you so much for your time and joining us today. This is a fantastic conversation. We certainly wish you well this season, that it will be completed safely and successfully and all that good stuff.
Well, you guys do a great job, and I look forward to following your careers and seeing how you progress because you're both going to be outstanding and successful. And Bruce, keep leading them. I know you got that experience under your belt.
That was dope.
Hey. Now it's the segment that you have all been waiting for this week on Who's Tripping. I'm going to let my fantastic colleague, ladies first.
Okay, so I don't have an official Who's Tripping this week. I'm going to allow myself to believe that no one in this world is tripping, which I know is a farce. But I want to take this time to acknowledge Kristen Walker, who will moderate the next presidential debate, and the decision that just made me so happy that they will cut mics, aka in my mind, a mute button when either candidate goes over their time. The moderators have been getting crushed, but I think it's not their fault. I think people can't appreciate how difficult it is to do their job. But now that Walker has the problem to end the audio, this is a game changer. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited.
I agree with you. If you watched the first debate, it was kind of reminded me of locker room talk and how we have a debate over who's better, Michael or Kobe, and one person screaming at the other person's yelling, and it's just a battle of who can get louder and who can talk over the other and who can make their point heard more. So that's not how a debate should go, especially not a presidential debate. However, this mute button thing should be interesting because it will be funny when one of them start talking and try to go over it, and then you can't hear them, but you can see their mouths moving. So that will be funny.
This is going to be entertaining. I can't wait. I'm ready to. Let's go. All right, folks, it's time to wrap this episode of BBB Pod up. First, we got to give a big thank you and shout out to Baylor head coach Scott Drew for coming on, spending some time with us, being so candid, giving us great King stories that gave us all the feels. Just love it. So proud of you. Also, big shout out and thanks to our super producer and co-host, Bruce Bernstein, our outstanding editor, Tom Phillip. Guys, don't forget our other shows. The Mike Wise Show drops in each Monday with a new show. His guest next week is Lakers owner Jeannie Buss, and she is always a fun visitor. Oh my gosh, she's got some new hardware to show off. I'm sure it's going to be great. Full Court Press with John Fanta is here on Tuesdays talking college hoops. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto and Aaron have a brand new show each Wednesday. And Bruce actually got more co-host reps as he filled in for Otto this week as they talked Houston Rockets with Kelly Eco of The Athletic. Some people are proposing that the Rockets bust it all up. But I can't wait to listen to that one. BJ and Eric have the Pure Hoops podcast every Friday. And I'm back with King next Thursday for a new edition of Buckets, Boards, and Blocks from Pure Hoops Media.
All right, let's go. Time to stick the landing.
Okay. I feel like I say this every week, and I feel like I continuously repeat myself because this is necessary. COVID is still here, people. And it's not just still here. It is rising. It is getting worse in a lot of states. So we must, as a society, just take this seriously. And I feel like I'm just preaching to the choir because nobody's listening because people are still going to the clubs. They're still – I went to a court yesterday. I was not – playing. I went there to a park and there was a court out there and there were, I kid you not, 50 people playing basketball, no masks. Listen, that's not what we're supposed to do, everybody. So please take COVID serious. Wear a mask because if not, it won't only just protect you, but it will protect somebody else. But not just that. Remember the social justice issues that we are facing in our country. If you want to make a change, go vote. Go to the polls. No matter how long you have to stand in line, wait your turn and do your civil duty and go vote if you really want to see a change in this country. And do not forget, if you like Buckets, Boards, and Blocks, please subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. And until we meet again, Monica, go for it.
Enjoy your hoops.
Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.